gospel reading for today is Matthew 15, 21 through 28. Leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. A Canaanite woman from the vicinity came to him, crying out, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is suffering terribly from a demon possession." But Jesus did not answer a word. So his disciples came to him and urged him, "Send her away, for she keeps crying out after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel." The woman came and knelt before him. "Lord, help me," she said. He replied, "It is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs." "Yes, Lord," she said, "but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered, "Woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted." And her daughter was healed from that very hour. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Now this psalm, whether written by David or another, not all the psalms were written by David, we know. Many of them are labeled, not necessarily all of them. But this psalm was written by someone who certainly knew the awesome love of God. And the NIV, the word translated love, by other translations is sometimes used, they put the word mercy or kindness or steadfast love in that place instead of just the word love. The Hebrew word in here is the word chesed. And it really could be any of those. It's not that any one of those are a mistranslation. It's that in the Hebrew mindset, those words are relatively interchangeable. Perhaps a little variation on content or context sometimes, but the Hebrew thought is pretty much the same in all of those. We perhaps get a little more confused because of the way we use words in English, and we, as anyone who's studied any other languages sees, English is a very confusing language in the way we use our words and use them in multiple ways at times. The word chesed emphasizes an idea of a miserable sinner being forgiven. The word chesed is a word that's used for steadfast love and, if you will, kind of a faithfulness that is born out of caring and commitment. It's a little bit of all of that in there. And the verses of this psalm really give an explanation of who God is in that love, that chesed for us, that caring, that kindness, that steadfast love that is there for the miserable sinner. And not recognizing us in that fashion, but lifting us up and out of that. The refrain is an opportunity for us to commit again in our heart a recognition of God that in unison kind of as a body of people, as the people of God, cheer out our praise in the relationship that we have with God because of who He is. Simply, does God deserve our thanks? Does His love ever fail or quit on you? Has God not laid out the heavens before us? Is God not in charge and in control of all things? And if our answer is yes, in the affirmative, God is the one that has all of this, and we recognize also that He's the one that rescues us in our time of need, and that He's the one that can truly take care of us, then we have a reason to, as the psalm called out, to give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His love endures forever. The phrase "His love endures forever" appears 41 times in Scripture, and 26 of those times are in this psalm alone. So we get a bulk of it right here, reminding us of His love enduring forever for us. There's that contemporary song by Chris Tomlin that we sing sometimes in church, "Forever God is faithful, forever God is strong, forever God is with us, forever, forever." And really that's pulling from this psalm in particular and others similar to it, but this psalm that reminds us that a lot of these contemporary songs are really just singing the psalms, just like a lot of modern hymnody goes back to trying to pull out just the words of Scripture and bring those to music, as opposed to some of the songs that we sing are those heavy theological doctrinal songs that are trying to drive home a teaching point. And then others are truly just those words of Scripture. Recognizing the way the Psalms are the songs of the people in those days, and for us they continue to be those spiritual songs that we sing today. And recognize that God is faithful, God is forever with us, and His mercy endures forever, or in the NIV case, as we have it before us today, His love, which I like even better, endures forever. For Jesus, He walked the life that we've walked. He endured what we have endured and much more. He walked that journey to the place of the skull with the truth on His lips and in His heart that the Father's enduring love was there to be a strength for Him. For you in every trial and struggle, if you could keep a focus on this truth that the Lord's enduring love is there for you, how much easier would those struggles be? We listen to the Holy Spirit and we let God be our strength. We need God to be our strength, God to remind us of His love for us. And where that love is, the strength of the Lord comes with it. We know that as God showers His love upon us, that we're able to endure more, to persevere longer, to accomplish more, because God is that strength that we need. That song by Chris Tomlin, it kind of conveys a confidence, as it is a love song, if you will, a confidence that God's love is there for us. His love endures forever. It's a victory cry, really. It's saying that no matter what goes on in this world, no matter what is happening, the good or the bad, God's love endures forever. It's a bold witness. Now the world at times perhaps can't help mocking us as we continue to fall back on and rely on fully Jesus. Because they see that you're the one that needs to pull yourself up. You're the one that needs to accomplish it. And while they're in part right, we do have a role in living out this world. We recognize that the reason we're able to live out and live through this world and all that we deal with in this world is because God is on our side. So God is a part of everything for the Christian. His love endures forever reminds us that even death couldn't stop that love of God coming to us. His love endures forever is so important that we need to keep going back to that first verse of how that begins, in that we should be giving thanks to the Lord our God because that love endures forever. And I guess we could ask questions like, do you want purpose for your life today? Well, then witness it and proclaim it. His love endures forever. Do you want strength and comfort for today? Are there things going on in your life that you need that comfort of God in? Then repeat it. His love endures forever. If you want assurance that you have value, that God looks upon you and says, you are my beloved, that you are who I died for, that the Lord looks at you and says, you're what this is all about. You're the reason Jesus lived and died and rose again, and that truth that never changes comes to mind, then we have to claim His love endures forever. His love is immortal, it's everlasting, and it's especially a love that is here for you. It's a love that I refer to, or I used to use the term, I haven't used this term in a long time, but I would say that this is God being in your face. I know that's not one of those words that we, or phrases that that kids use nowadays, but that was something popular for a while. When you get in your face, I mean, it's full frontal. It's going on, we're here. This is the way God's love is and always has been for us. It's in our face. It's there to remind us, and it's there to if you will, in a sense, be so confrontational that it can be disarming. I've known volatile situations between people that was, well, as the frustrations built and as the tempers flared, everything got disarmed when all of a sudden one person said, "But I love you." Well, wait a minute, how are we going to fight now? It doesn't work as well. It makes it a lot harder. It makes it even harder when you're dealing in a great confrontation and you say to someone, "You know, God loves you and so do I." Now you bring in the Lord into the picture and how that dispels the anger and the frustration. It confounds the devil and confuses the devil so that he doesn't know how to respond. And when we're in those kind of confrontations, it's the devil that's doing the work, not God. So we do stop the devil in his tracks as God gets in his face again. To say that Jesus loves you can bring to a halt a lot of disagreements. To say, "I love you," and more importantly, "Jesus loves you," can bring us back to what we need to be about as Christians in this world. I've done it myself where I said, "You know, Jesus loves you." In the middle of a heated back and forth with someone who I didn't really even know if they were a Christian or not, former employer of mine many, many, many years ago. Yeah, obviously a former employer, because any current employers would be Christians, you'd think, right? Uh-huh. But I was having an argument with a fellow, and he and I were ready to come to blows pretty much, and I had to come back to that phrase that I remembered, "Wait a minute, this is not what it's about. Besides that, he's my boss, he could fire me." Actually, I didn't care at that point, but what I did care about was changing my attitude. And I said, "You know, Jesus loves you." And this fellow retired Navy, All muscle, and that's another reason why I should disarm the situation. But he looked at me and he kind of cocked his head off to the side, and he said, "What?" I said, "You know, Jesus loves you." And that's what we need to be more about, and not this. And he said, "You're right." I really wasn't expecting that from him, because I'd never heard anything Christian or concept of Christianity come out of his mouth. Usually his language was a string of four-letter words. There were some five letters thrown in just to show that he knew them, but, you know, "Jesus loves you." Brought us to a halt, into a new place. When tempers flare between God's children, say that God loves you, God loves me. And it should seem that though we may not agree, we should still love each other. It puts to a stop those frustrations, those angers, those hostilities. God's love is most disarming. And when we remember the verses that Paul wrote, faith, hope, and love, these three, but the greatest of these is love, we can go back to that love over and over and over again. And perhaps if it's not even an argument with someone else, but just the frustrations and struggles we're facing in our life and the things of the world that are upon us, to stop and remind ourselves, "But Jesus loves me," can help us to recenter and refocus and to remind ourselves again that this love of God is for me. And then, even better yet, how long this love lasts. And that's to go back to this phrase that is truly, in my opinion, one of the greatest and most powerful phrases in all of Scripture. His love endures forever. There's no mistaking that phrase. We know what love is, and we know what forever is. And we know who we're talking about. God. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the King of Kings. His love endures forever. Give thanks for the healing that he's brought to those from our family and friends. His love endures forever. give thanks for the employment he's brought to those that we care about and those that need to provide for their families. His love endures forever. Give thanks for his coming and bringing us into his presence this morning. His love endures forever. Give thanks for all the wonders of his hand performed in our lives. Give thanks for the forgiveness of sins that you and I have. Give thanks for the opportunity that we can relate to each other on the same level as children of God, blessed by him, and know that he is with us to help us to live through this life. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. You say it.